It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The number of deadly encounters between police and civilians in Wisconsin is on the rise, according to an analysis from Wisconsin Watch.
The state had previously been among the lowest in the nation in fatal police encounters, but over the past 2 years, Wisconsin is outpacing some of its neighboring states.
The reporting from Wisconsin Watch found gaps in oversight and accountability in some of these cases, which aren't always accurately tracked in state and federal databases.
Jacob Resnick is an investigative reporter. He reported on fatal police encounters in Wisconsin for his last story with Wisconsin Watch. Jacob, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Can you put into context for us where Wisconsin stands when it comes to these deadly police encounters? We'll get into how we define these in just a couple of minutes.
Well, Wisconsin, if you look at like the national rankings, it's still below per capita, you know, some of the higher states like, you know, Texas or states which have a lot of deadly police encounters, or states with really low populations like Wyoming and Alaska. But if you look at our neighbors and compare us to other states with comparable populations, Wisconsin is far and away the leader of in the northern Midwest, and including in this past couple of years, the state of Illinois. Numerically, Wisconsin has more fatal police encounters than Illinois, that has a state with twice the population. So that's something we started to kind of dig into.
And those numbers going up over the last couple of years, you found?
That's right.
What kind of numbers are we talking about? How common is this in the state?
Well, we are looking at right now in 2024, we're going to say at least 19. We say fatal police encounters, we're talking not just police shootings, but also when so-called non-fatal force is used. So there might be a taser, might be restraints, someone held prone for a period of time. Sometimes there are sedatives used. But when the person basically dies in the custody of law enforcement under the course of an arrest, we have about 19 this year so far. Last year is quite high. The modern record, though, I believe was 26 set in 2017. And what got us looking into it is the fact that we're on pace to exceed that record this year.
One thing that makes this tricky, Jacob, as I read your reporting on this, is different states, different law enforcement agencies, different district attorneys and whatever might have different definitions of some of the things we're talking about. The data itself is hard to track. Can you talk about some of the difficulties and what it takes to put this together?
Sure. I mean, tracking in custody deaths and arrest related deaths and all that, it's a challenge nationally, because you know law enforcement is predominantly local in this country. So you have, you know, thousands and thousands of law enforcement agencies who have to report this stuff. Wisconsin is no different. There's been last 20 odd years, there's been federal tracking requirements, but there's only been state tracking requirements since about 2021. And even so, the State Department of Justice relies on individual agencies. So we found different incidents, different agencies would respond to different, report different incidents differently. So you might have a sheriff's department and a city police agency, or two of them all in one call, and they'll all report it differently and will all end up in a state database. So one might say it's an arrest-related death. One might say it's a use of force death. One might not even report it at all. And the DOJ, they are following the state statute. They just put the data all in. They throw it all in there. So when you're trying to look over our overall and see how many actually deaths you had in a year, it's really problematic to comb through it. And that begged the question of, if no one's actually coming through and looking at these, how are we going to find trends and find, you know, what are the lessons learned and what might actually be happening here in the state?
Some years back, Wisconsin passed a law that says when there is a police-involved shooting, right, a discharge of firearms, there would be an investigation, and it had to be by not that particular police department. It had to be some kind of other neighboring agency or state agency, what have you. It sounds like from your reporting with in-custody deaths where there isn't a shooting, there isn't anything like that. It might not be investigated at all. It might be investigated. What kind of things did you see there?
Well, if there is a use of force death, it's true. There is a law that requires another police agency. Usually, it's a neighboring police agency, or it'll be state investigators will do the investigation. But even though that investigation is done by another law enforcement agency, almost in all cases, the call to do whether that actual use of force was legal or lawful, that goes to the local district attorney. And we talked to some prosecutors who said that actually puts district attorneys in kind of a difficult situation because prosecutors rely on police to bring them evidence and cases to make prosecutions. And there's this really important symbiosis, and that's okay. But if you're also requiring prosecutors to police the police, that kind of puts them in an uncomfortable situation. So it's almost not surprising that in Wisconsin, in pretty much almost every case we could find, except the Civil Smith incident in Milwaukee in 2016, prosecutors are ruling use of force is lawful. And there's been some calls for maybe asking a special state unit or something to make that legal call. But right now, basically, DAs are clearing every use of force death, even ones where there are some clear questions we found if proper protocols and procedures were found. And what basically ends up happening is when the DA clears a use of force death that was questionable, it ends up going to a civil lawsuit. So the only recourse the families of the people have is usually to sue in civil court.
I kept thinking about in our neighboring state, the George Floyd death. The initial police report there said, it was a medical event. If it hadn't been for a video, that might never have been even reported as or investigated as a use of force by the police. That hypothetically could happen here in Wisconsin. A death like that, if nobody says use of force was involved, it might not lead to another investigation. Do I have that right?
That's right. And we actually did find a case where there was an agitated murder suspect the police responded to in Kokona last year. And he died under the course of his arrest. It was reported as a medical episode in the public release by the police department. It was cleared by the DA. When we did get the body cam footage, though, we did found that the police officers had held him prone and sat on his back for up to 6 or so minutes. We showed that to some independent medical examiners, and they felt that actually the use of force probably had a lot to do with the man's death, and it basically the public statements undercut the causation of the response, which led to the man's death. But if you were just to read the press release and look at the database, it looks like he died from other reasons.
Talking to Jacob Resnick about his reporting for Wisconsin Watch on police fatalities while in police custody here in Wisconsin. Jacob, you talked to a lot of people about why those numbers have gone up, as you said, on pace to hit a record here in Wisconsin, a record I think nobody wants to hit. What kind of ideas did you hear about why that might be?
Well, there's no one like easy answer, but I think what it looks like the major theme that we found is the large in a way, most of these encounters do end up peacefully and no one gets hurt. But when does something does go ha does happen and police don't follow their training, they don't use the de-escalation or they are arguably too quick to use force, there isn't really any inbuilt accountability. Also, police training really, really emphasizes officer safety. So, we looked at a lot of videos where someone would produce a knife and they're still, 15, 20 paces away and they're walking towards a police officer and they're shot and killed. Now, it's legally justified because the person was armed with a deadly weapon. But, independent experts we showed some of these things too would question like, was that officer's life really in danger in that actual second? And also what led up to that? Because the overall emphasis is to reduce the threat if it's provided and also, to make sure that police stay safe at all times. It really there's a real emphasis to use overwhelming force. There are no warning shots that police are trained to shoot to kill, to shoot in the core. And as we have, since there is no real down, I mean, there's the downside of obviously if you're wounded or hurt in the course of your profession, but there's no real downside if you're use your force too quickly. That seems to be the overriding theme that's may might be feeding into this into this
And one thing that struck me in your reporting is that there were people calling for changes, both in the training you were just talking about and in our reporting and accounting for these incidents, Jacob. And in many cases, they were former police officers themselves leading these calls for reform. What kind of things did you hear from former police officers who might have been in these situations themselves?
Yeah, it feeds into basically the culture of using the tools. Like, you know, tasers have been around for a couple decades now, but relying on tools to neutralize a threat really quickly, not to have less of an emphasis on talking things down, less of an emphasis on getting into a physical fight. So there is this, you know, there's this concern from some former officers that, you know, there is a too quick to use fatal force when looking at a threat.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Jacob, what are you watching for next? I know you've moved on from Wisconsin Watch, but what would be the next step in covering this story? What a big open question is there?
I think the big open question will be to see whether the State Department of Justice and lawmakers actually take a strong look at these trends. There have been in the past legislative initiatives that would like create like a use of force review board, kind of like the National Transportation Safety Board, that may not maybe look at the legality of, you know, individual cases, but try to do lessons learned. Right now, it's up to individual agencies to look at each incident, but there's no one actually looking at the big picture in Wisconsin and tracking these trends and actually asking these hard questions of why and what we can do better to reverse this.
Jacob, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Jacob Resnick is a former investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch. He was with us today to share his work on rising numbers of fatal police encounters here in the state.